Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Wallace Kleindienst, in Flagstaff with Northland Views. I'll be reading from the White Mountain Independent, the Payson Roundup, and the Tribune News today. From the White Mountain Independent, a story by Jean Marie, staff writer, with the headline, Apache County Board of Supervisor Appoints New County Attorney. The Apache County Board of Supervisors held a special meeting Monday to appoint a new county attorney following the vacancy left by Michael Whiting. After discussion in executive session, a motion was made and seconded to appoint Jasmine Blackwater Negrin to the position. The motion passed 2-1, with Supervisor Nelson Davis voting no. Blackwater Negrin's appointment marks an historic milestone as she becomes the first Navajo woman to serve as Apache County Attorney. Supervisors Alton Joe Shepherd and Joe Shirley Jr. cited Blackwater Negrin's leadership qualities and her ability to bring integrity to the office as key reasons for their support. Shepherd stated, her commitment to fairness and her proven ability to handle both political and personal challenges stood out. Shepherd also noted that it was time for the younger generation to step into leadership roles. Joe Shirley added, her experience and dedication to the community makes her the right choice to restore trust and efficiency in this office. We need someone who can put the county attorney's office back together and bring it forward in a good, functional manner, said St. John's City Manager Paul Ramsey during public comments. Following Michael Whiting's suspension from the practice of law since November 1st of this year, stemming from his indictment on multiple charges, and despite his recent re-election as Apache County Attorney, the Board of Supervisors began accepting applications for the position on December 4th. Three candidates were publicly considered for the role: Blackwater Negrin, Devin Brown, and Chris Candelaria. Blackwater Negrin, an attorney residing in Red Mesa, holds a law degree from Stanford University and has experience serving as a state legislator for the Arizona House of Representatives. Her husband, Bew, is a current president of the Navajo Nation. She emphasized her priorities of ensuring safety across Apache County, filling key vacancies within the office, and establishing office morale. She stated, it's really important, not just for staff, but for the board and residents of this county to feel like they're being heard, as she said during the selection process. Devin Brown, a longtime prosecutor and former legal advisor for the town of Eager, has years of experience working with various departments within Apache County. He highlighted his ability to manage people positively and his strong prosecutorial background as key strengths for stabilizing the county attorney's office. Chris Candelaria, a former two-term Apache County attorney, brought nearly 40 years of legal experience to the table, including conducting over 130 jury trials. He highlighted his familiarity with county operations and his commitment to fairness and serving the public impartially. I've been a prosecutor for nearly 40 years. My job is to serve everyone without regard to who they are, Candelaria said. The next story is by Tony Gibbons, staff writer, dated December 12, 2024, with the headline, Immigrant Allegations, Animal Cruelty Addressed at Sholo City Council. Undocumented immigrants and Sholo citizens convicted of animal cruelty, owning animals, were among several topics at the Sholo City Council meeting on December 3rd. The meeting also covered updates on the Sholo Historical Society Museum, the Deuce of Clubs Community Center, and the most recent audit. Questions posed at a prior Sholo City Council meeting regarding reports of undocumented immigrants being transported into the region were addressed by local and county law enforcement, as Sholo Police Chief Brad Provost said his department has investigated numerous citizen reports of suspicious activities, including white vans allegedly dropping off groups of people. We've had reports of white vans, but when we followed up, one turned out to belong to a local group home transporting their residents. Another complaint involved a group of day laborers who were actually Native Americans working at a local construction project, he said. Provost also provided data from the city jail, noting that since September 1st, 197 individuals have been booked. He stated, of those 197, only three were not born in the United States, and only one had an ICE hold. The data simply does not support claims of a problem. Navajo County Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy Brian Swante echoed similar findings. He said, over the last year, we've received reports of vehicles allegedly dropping off large groups of people or individuals walking along roadways. When investigators responded, we found no evidence to support these claims. Swante went on to assure residents that the department maintains open communications with the Department of Homeland Security and Border Sheriffs in Cochise and Yavapai counties. He stated, DHS has assured us that if there are any intentional plans to move undocumented immigrants to Navajo County, we would be notified in advance. To date, we have not received any such notification. Swante went on to say that every report is taken seriously and investigated. This is a topic of concern for many, and it should be. We continue to monitor the situation closely. Vice Mayor Connie Kavakis suggested reaching out to hotels and motels to encourage reporting of any unusual activities. Provost noted that while they have not proactively contacted lodging establishments, they have encountered instances of large groups from outside the county. He stated, these individuals were here illegally. City Attorney Anna Atencio addressed the council about a growing problem brought to attention by the Sholo Animal Control. She explained that individuals convicted of animal cruelty or neglect have had their animals seized by the city only to obtain new animals and subject them to the same mistreatment. She stated, it's becoming the cycle of people losing their animals and getting more animals. To combat this, the council approved a new addition to the city code that makes it illegal for anyone convicted of animal cruelty or neglect under Sholo City Code or similar laws in other jurisdictions to own, adopt, foster, or live with animals within the city limits. Under the new rules, individuals with a first civil conviction are banned from owning animals for at least 5 years. For a first criminal conviction or a second civil conviction, the ban is extended to at least 10 years. A second criminal conviction results in a lifetime ban. Atencio noted that individuals may appeal to the court for exceptions, with details outlined in the new section. While Arizona has a similar state law, it does not cover city code violations, making this local measure essential. Claire Thomas, director of the Sholo Historical Society Museum, shared the annual progress report highlighting a successful 29th year for the museum. We set a goal of 5,000 visitors, and we've already surpassed it with a few weeks left in the season, Thomas said. She credited the museum's achievements to its 26 dedicated volunteers, who contributed 1,039 hours of service, stating, without their time and dedication, the museum wouldn't be what it is today. The museum received 130 donations this year, including an exhibit dedicated to local veterinarian Bill Wafer. Thomas said, we have his doctor's bag intact, complete with hay, manure, and everything else. It's all there. Memberships are also up, with 66 active members supporting the museum's operations. Among the museum's standout exhibits is the Silver Creek Railroaders' Last Train to Maverick, which continues to draw diverse visitors from school groups to seniors. This year, the museum partnered with the Pine Top Lakeside Historical Society to present a well-received program on the lumber industry in McNary and Maverick. It was a full house, Thomas said, and it gave a number of people the chance to share their family history and connection to the railroad. The next story is a byline with Peter Alshire, consulting publications editor, with the date of December 12th. The headline is, Arizona Bald Eagles Soar to a New Record. Bald eagles in Arizona set a record this year with 90 breeding pairs, successfully launching 77 fledglings into the world. The bald eagle is no longer considered endangered, but the eagles that breed in Arizona still face big challenges. The continuation of some protections and Arizona Game and Fish's Nest Watch program have produced steady population growth since 1978. Arizona bald eagle population continues to be strong, said Kenneth Tuck Jacobson, Arizona Game and Fish Bald Eagle Management Coordinator. Going on to state, the fact that we continue to see an increase in breeding areas and hatchlings speaks to the resiliency of these magnificent animals and the effectiveness of ongoing efforts to help conserve and protect Arizona's bald eagles. Most of the breeding territories are on the Salt and Verde Rivers at lower elevations. However, breeding pairs this year produced fledglings near Rim County lakes, including Woods Canyon and Chevelon Canyon. A total of 5 pairs nest along remote stretches of Tonto Creek. Many eagles also nest in the White Mountains along rivers and creeks. That includes breeding pairs at Silver Creek, Sholo, Greer Lakes, Crescent Lake, and Luna Lake. 8 pairs nest along the Salt River, and 5 pairs along the Gila River, mostly on the San Carlos Apache Reservation. Many of these locations have nest watches during the December-August breeding season to keep people away from the nests at a time that might endanger the young. This year, the 90 breeding pairs produced 119 eggs and 96 hatchings, with 77 of those surviving long enough to take flight. That includes 7 new nesting sites. The Arizona breeding population of bald eagles breeds every year in the same territory and usually in the same nest. They mate for life and cooperate in rearing the young. The adults wander once the young have taken flight, although they will continue feeding the teenagers for a time after they fledge. The next article is by Suzanne Adams Ocresa, digital editor, dated December 17th, with the headline, White Mountain Sirens and Sleigh Bells Bring an Early Christmas to Local Kids. Volunteers from multiple local law enforcement agencies gave 150 kids a warmer and merrier early Christmas at the annual White Mountain Sirens and Sleigh Bells event on December 11th at the Sholo Walmart. The event involves officers pairing up with families who have children under the age of 12 and are in need of some extra assistance around the holidays to shop for warm clothing, shoes, hats, scarves, coats, mittens, and more. The Sholo and Pine Top Lakeside Police Departments raise the funds for the event throughout the year and try to raise enough money to fully pay for 1 year and hopefully start the ball rolling on collecting enough funds for the next year's event. This year, the fundraising was a bit tougher. White Mountain Sirens and Sleigh Bells was able to collect enough donations to fully fund this year's event, but they're a bit behind on where they would like to be in funding for next year's event. Residents looking to spread a little holiday cheer into the next year can donate online at pinetoplakeside.gov/350/WMSSB or by mailing or dropping a check off at the Pine Top Lakeside Police Department in Lakeside, Arizona, or the Sholo Police Department in Sholo, Arizona. Although the Sholo and Pine Lakeside Police Departments coordinate the event with their partners at Walmart every year, the two departments also invite Santa, the Grinch, and officers from other local agencies to help with the shopping. This year, approximately 60 to 70 officers from the Navajo County Sheriff's Office, White Mountain Apache Police Department, Arizona Game and Fish Department, Arizona Rangers, Sholo Company, Sholo Senior Patrol, Navajo County Patrol Posse, the Navajo County Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers, the Navajo County Search and Rescue, as well as the Sholo and Pine Top Lakeside Police Departments participated. Toys for Tots also joined in the fun. For at least a second year in a row, the organization donated about 4 pallets worth of toys and school supplies for the children. A couple of search and rescue dogs and a pup belonging to one of the dispatchers also showed up to help the kids sniff out some good toys, while Santa and the Grinch made sure everyone left with a smile on their face. You're tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona, and you're listening to Northland Views. The next article with a byline by Howard Fisher of Capital Media Services, dated December 13th, with the headline, Arizona Attorney General Files Lawsuit Against Saudi Farm Over Water. In Phoenix, Attorney General Chris Mays is going to court with a largely untested legal theory in a bid to force a Saudi company to stop it from excessively pumping groundwater at its Western Arizona alfalfa operations and require it to set aside funds to compensate neighbors it has damaged. The lawsuit filed Wednesday claims that Fondamonte LLC, the Arizona subsidiary of the company, has created a public nuisance by pumping so much water it has dried up nearby wells and already resulted in subsidence of the land around Vicksburg in La Paz County. But it also says that's just the beginning, with the damage threatening sediment buildup that reduces water quality and damages appliance, pumps, and pipes. One thing is, Attorney General Mays acknowledged, is that none of that pumping actually violates state water laws. There are portions of the state that are within the active management areas where pumping of groundwater is regulated. Pretty much everywhere else, including where Fondamonte operates, is ungoverned, meaning that those on the property have the right to grow what they want, and more to the point, pump as much water as they need for those crops. Discussions at the Phoenix Capitol about imposing new rules on these areas have broken down amid disputes over what regulations are appropriate. And Chris Mays blames the problem here on legislative failure to address a water crisis with catastrophic effects on the groundwater level in the Wayne Grass Basin. That, Mays said, was the reason Fondamonte came here to grow alfalfa to feed dairy cattle in Saudi Arabia, where such farming is banned. Fondamonte has taken advantage of Arizona's failure to protect its precious groundwater resources, Mays said. And now the Attorney General wants Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Scott Minder to rule that, statutory limits on pumping or not, what Fondamonte is doing still violates the public nuisance provision of the state criminal code. Fondamonte already is gearing up to fight the use of the nuisance law to curb what it says are its otherwise legal operations. We believe the Attorney General is setting a dangerous precedent, attempting to penalize farming and the wider agricultural industry within the state of Arizona, said Fondamonte spokesman Barrett Marson. The company complies with all state and local regulations. But Mays isn't disputing that. Instead, the claim is that Fondamonte's operations are harming its neighbors and, under Arizona law, creating a nuisance. Reading from the Tribune News covering Holbrook, Snowflake, Taylor, and Winslow, an article entitled Rehabilitation Hospital Brings Quality Care Closer to Home by Linda Corr. By many who are addressing health care needs in northern Arizona, factors that determine the choices being made include quality of care and the distance from home. Stephanie Martinez, Senior Clinical Liaison for Rehabilitation Hospital of Northern Arizona in Flagstaff, is wanting area residents to know that when it comes to rehabilitative care, their services are some of the best to be found, and they are close to home. According to Martinez, this year's Rehabilitation Hospital of Northern Arizona will be ranked in the top 5% of rehabilitation hospitals in the entire country, meaning that those who go to the hospital will receive top-notch service. This ranking comes from the Uniform Data System for Medical Rehabilitation, a non-for-profit corporation that was developed with support from the National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Research, a component of the U.S. Department of Education. It ranks rehabilitation facilities based upon care that is patient-centered, effective, efficient, and timely. The facility's director of marketing and business development, Donna Ray, explained, "We are part of a bigger healthcare group called Ernest Health, and they have hospitals across the country that specialize in acute rehabilitation, which is what we do at our hospital, adding that this facility has been in operation for the past 7 years. Martina spoke about the technology utilized in the hospital, including the Zero-G and Balance system, which is a robotic body weight support system mounted to a motorized trolley that rides along an overhead track. This is a unique tool, especially for stroke patients, amputee patients, and spinal cord injury patients. There's a computer, and you can program how much gravity to give individuals. So when they're first starting out, we will do most of the work for them, and then as they get stronger, we start adding gravity back so that they are doing more of the work. A lot of times, when someone's mobility is taken away, they're afraid of falling, and when they're in this body-type harness, and they know that they're not going to fall because the machine will catch them if they slip, that gives them the mentality of, I can try this, and I can do it better. It provides confidence. From the community section is an article, New Book Pays Homage to Traditional Navajo Way of Life. In the book, We Walk the Earth in Beauty, Traditional Navajo Life Ways, readers experience time-honored practices of the Navajo people as shared by wisdom keepers who live close to the land and follow ancestral ways. The book offers careful descriptions of how traditional Navajo people do everything from making yucca shampoo to building a hogan. Watch and listen as Mary Jo Yazzie fires a clay pot, Hazel Nez weaves a rug, and Sam Worker stitches a pair of moccasins for his wife. In this book's 19 richly illustrated informative chapters, readers will learn much that is of practical value for living in harmony with a desert community. Author Kathy Eccles Hooker moved to the Navajo Reservation in the 1970s, where she taught English to Diné students at Dilkon Boarding School. Later, she taught English at Flagstaff United School District for 33 years, where again, she worked with Diné students. Living on the Navajo Reservation, I experienced amazement at how Navajo people live close to the land, Hooker said. Going on to say, I wanted to listen and learn as they shared their traditions and create a book that would document those life ways. Hooker found a project manager and photographer, Helen Law Running, who lived from 1945 to 2014. Born in Trinidad and Tobago, Running committed herself to documenting traditional life ways and environmental stewardship among the peoples and cultural landscapes of the Colorado Plateau. First published in 1991 as Time Among the Navajo, the book has been redesigned. The third edition includes a new preface, foreword, introductory text, and notes. In its review, Kirkus Books described the book as a straightforward and richly atmospheric illustrated look at traditional Navajo customs. The book is now on sale everywhere where books are sold, including independent bookstores, online shops, and from Flagstaff-based Solstice Publishing. Its publication reflects a belief in the importance of preserving traditional Navajo cultural practices in book form and sharing them with Navajo and non-Navajo people alike. And from the Payson Roundup is the article by Peter Alshire, Consulting Publications Editor, dated December 16th, with the headline, Payson Council Appoints New Interim Town Manager. A unanimous newly installed Payson Town Council on Monday, December 16th, appointed Sheila DeShaff as the interim town manager following the negotiated departure of Troy Smith. DeShaff last served as interim town manager for more than a year after town manager LaRon Garrett left in 2019. She served until the council hired Troy Smith in 2021, a veteran police chief and town manager from Colorado. DeShaff has also served as public works director, planning director, and most recently as an assistant town manager. She also previously served on the Payson Unified School District Board. DeShaff will work with a new mayor and two new council members, critical of the previous council, as well as Smith's support for a $70 million bond package. The bond money was intended to fund a long list of long-deferred capital projects. The incoming council members, Steve Otto, Charlie Bell, and Jim Ferris will join newcomer Dalen Hawes and incumbents Scott Nosek, Susie Tubbs, and Brett Flattery. Smith left as the new council took their seats, negotiating a buyout on his contract. Interim Police Chief Jay Hiroka also left with the expiration of his contract. Smith appointed Fire Chief David Staub as Interim Public Safety Director before he left. I'm your volunteer reader, Wallace Kleindienst. This was Northland Views. Thank you for listening.
Comes the time for Christmas, and I really have to ask, if this is feeling merry, how much longer must it last? I wish a one-horse open sleigh would come carry me away, but I've been waiting here all day, and one just hasn't come my way. Now excuse me if I'm not being reverent, but I was hoping for a miracle to hold me, wash me, save me from a righteous doubt as I watch helpless, and everybody sings, if it's Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, solstice, harvest, or December 25th, peace on earth to everyone, and abundance to everyone. You're with la la da 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 da. Storm it billows, but the fire is so warm inside, and the children, while nestled in their pillows, dream of St. Nicholas's ride, and how the next day they'll get up and they will play in the still falling Christmas snow, and together we'll celebrate forever in defiance of the winds that blow. My God in heaven, now I feel like I'm seven, and the spirit calls to me as well. Christmas, it made the winter warmer, made a paradise from what was hell, as if a cold and frozen soul is warm to love my love's own hand. So goes the prayer, if for a day peace on earth and goodwill to man. Many times of time for Christmas, and I cannot help but ask, and the children's feeling. Christmas comes my way.